You have your Bibles, if you would, turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. This is later on in Jesus' ministry. He has come to Jerusalem. He has entered Jerusalem for the last time. He's getting ready for the crucifixion. He is spending time in the temple teaching. He has just gone through a debate with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and man, it's just been a long day. And Jesus comes to the point where after the day is kind of over, he's gone through this debate. I'm sure he's mentally and spiritually drained. He's really tired. And he goes and he finds him just a quiet place, just kind of sit down. And it just so happens, which I don't think there's any just so happens in the Bible, but Jesus goes and he sits down by the offering plates in the temple. Now, in the court of women, there were 11 different offering plates or 11 different trumpets that they were called. They had narrow necks but came down to a large bottom down the bottom, and they were kind of tilted, and people would come along and they would put their offerings in for different types of ministry. Some of it was used to purchase wood for the burning of the sacrifices. Some of it was used for benevolence, just different things that these offerings were given for. Now, to understand that this is an offering, there's two different things. It's temple. You got the temple tax that you pay, all the Jews pay. There is the tithe that you pay, but then there are offerings, and offerings are things that you give voluntarily above and beyond the tithe and the temple tax. These are not required things that you give. These are things that you give because you want to. Okay? It's the same thing we do today. We take up special offerings all the time. And we need to understand the difference between an offering and the tithe. Too often we think, well, I'm just take my tithe and give it to this offering. No, that's not the purpose. The tithe is to be given in the church so that the church can do ministry, so that we can pay for the air conditioning, so we can pay the pastor, so we can do buy literature, we can do all these things. Because you give your tithe, we're able to do ministry. But there are times when special offerings come up. Sometimes it's a state offering that we take up. Sometimes it's Lottie Moon. These are all offerings. These are things that you give above and beyond your tithe. These are things that you give because you want to give. Well, Jesus has wound up sitting down beside these offering plates, these trumpets, this place where people come and give out of what they want to give, out of a desire to give. And as he's sitting there, is the reason I say he's probably tired is because it says that he looks up. Now, he's not below the trumpets. He's just sitting in a room that has these lined up across the wall, and he's sitting beside them. So it seems to be that when it says he looks up, he's probably sitting there with his head down, just kind of tired. I'm going to tell you, as a pastor, I sitting on that side of the pulpit, I used to think, man, the preacher's got it made. They work a day and a half a week. You know, how hard can it be to just stand up there and talk? But I'm just going to tell you, when I get through on Sundays, I'm exhausted. There's just a whole different type of tired. When you're trying to preach relevant, to preach passionately, and just you're giving out of the overflow of your spirit, so I can kind of relate. Now I can't say that I'm anything like Jesus, and I haven't had to deal with the things that Jesus had to deal with, but I can understand being tired when you're having these hard conversations with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he's been talking theologically, he's been teaching all day. And I'm sure I can just relate to him. He's just tired. And he's sitting, he found him a quiet place to sit down. And he's probably reflecting over these conversations that he had. He's probably praying, God, open their eyes to the truth of what I'm trying to tell them. Help them see that it's not religion, it's relationship. And so he's sitting there and he's pretty tired. And then this amazing thing happens. He begins to notice some stuff. So if you would stand with me, we're going to read chapter 21, beginning in verse 1, and we're going to read down through verse 4. And he looked up, and he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw a poor widow putting in two small copper coins, and he said, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put more in than all of them. For out of their surplus they all put into the offering. But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. Let's pray. Lord God, I ask for me now. God, I pray that you would help me be a faithful giver, a cheerful giver, that out of the overflow of my trust in you, that God, I would be willing to sacrifice so that your word could be spread around the world, so that your love could be shown to someone else, so that ministry could be done in your name. God, help me be generous. God, I pray that over our church. God, we are, and I'm so thankful that we do, people give, and for such a small church, they give so much. But God, today, I want us to, through your Holy Spirit, God, begin to assess how much we give. More importantly, how much we have left over. God, help us be faithful, generous, glad givers to your kingdom work. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm so thankful for the songs that we just sang because it reminds us that we have a friend in Jesus. We have someone who is on our side. Our sins have been paid for. We've been bought back from death. And so we've got a lot to be very thankful for. And if Jesus bought us back, if Jesus died in our place, don't we think that he's going to help us live for him? That he didn't do it just so we could go to heaven one day. He did it so that we could live for him, that he would keep his word and keep his promises. And the Bible is full of the promises of God's provision, full of the promises of God's faithfulness. And if we're honest, and many of us can testify to the faithfulness of God, how he has shown up in times when we live by faith and not by sight. So Jesus is sitting here, and one thing I want you to see, that he's sitting by this place where these free will offerings are given, these non-compulsory offerings are given, and he starts noticing, he begins to pay attention to people that are giving. I want you to see right off the bat, God pays attention to what we give. God pays attention to the heart from which that gift is given. All right? So he began to pay attention, and I want you to see, he didn't knock. He wasn't talking bad about these rich people who were giving. He just simply made an observation and helped us understand that giving needs to be out of the heart, and he's more concerned about the heart of faith, the heart of joy, the heart of love from which this offering is given. He's more concerned about the heart than the size of the offering. But how do you know, how was he able to tell the condition of the heart of the givers? All right, notice what he said. He said, he looked up and he saw rich people putting their gifts in the treasury. So the first group he sees are people that are well off. These people are well to do. They've got plenty of money. Their bills are paid and everything. It says, and he saw this poor widow. Now, this translation or this word where it says poor, it really doesn't do justice to the Greek meaning of this word. We think of poor, we think of people that are below the poverty level, you know, somebody that's making less than $20,000 a year. You know, you can be, there are stages of poor. Well, this word poor here means that she was desperately poor, okay? It's not just that she didn't have much, she didn't have nothing, okay? She was desperately poor. So there's two groups of people here that are giving. They're the rich, got plenty of money, and there's this desperately poor widow. All right? And again, remember, culturally, there was no Social Security, there was no safety net for widow. This was a widow. Now, when she's declared a widow, it's not just that her husband is dead, it's that she has no children. She is alone. She is a widow. Paul says that, look, don't put widows on the list of for benevolence unless they are widows indeed. That means there's nobody to take care of them. They have no family. This woman had no one. She was a widow. Her husband was dead. She had no children. She had nobody to provide for her needs outside of God and the benevolence of God's people. Okay? So we got to understand who Jesus is talking about when we frame this idea of, or this story that he's telling, because it's important. We've got 21st century ideas of what poor is, and we've got 21st century ideas of what a widow is. Well, we need to understand biblically what he's talking about. So he's contrasting these two extremes. And he said, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them. So you've got these rich people that are just coming in, they're putting in just lots of money. They're dropping some coin. All right? Then you have this poor widow, this desperately poor lady, who comes in. It says she gives two copper coins. Now, one of these copper coins is the equivalent to 1/20th of a penny. It's almost nothing. So she's got two of them, so she's got 1/40th of a penny that she's given to the church, that she's given in the offering. And Jesus says, look, this lady gave more than all of these people did. Now, again, Jesus is not knocking rich people. Okay? He's not knocking the fact that they gave money, that they gave a lot of money. He wasn't saying that it was bad. What he was saying was she gave more. Because the gift is not determined by the amount of money you give. It's determined by the amount of money you got left. See, we think of our giving in terms of what we give. Jesus said the expression of faith, the heart filled with love, the amount of the gift is not determined what you give, it's determined by what you got left. He said she gave more than the rest of them because they gave out of their excess. Now, in today's language, we would say they gave out of their discretionary money. All their bills were paid, their mortgage was paid, their country club dues were paid, they had money set aside for gas, they had money set aside for groceries, all their bills were paid, and all the money they needed to live on was already called for. This is the leftover money. I don't know much about that. but they gave out of their excess. They gave out of their discretionary funds. So they gave out of what was left over after everything was taken care of. He said, but this lady gave all that she had, not in her pocket, all that she had to live on. She gave her grocery money. She gave what would go towards her rent. She gave everything, not withholding anything. Now, again, he's demonstrating, he's letting them know that, look, it's not the size of the offering that gets my attention. It's the amount of faith that's accompanied. It's the amount of sacrifice that's tied to this giving. She gave everything. They gave out of their excess. Now, God, Jesus, was impressed with this widow lady. He was impressed, number one, by her heart of faith. It was an exercise of faith. See, we think we're faithful when we give 10% to a tithe. It's faith. No, because usually that's your excess. Faith is when you're giving and you're having to do without something else so that you can give. The offerings that we take up, the Annie Armstrong, all these special offerings, these offerings that are above and beyond, these because I want to gifts to ministry. Do we give based on what we've got left, or do we give sacrificially? Do we give trusting that God, you've prompted my heart to give, I'm going to give this, and I'm willing to do without this. I'm willing to sacrifice so that I can give to the ministry, to the work of the gospel I can give to the spreading of the gospel around the world. I can give to this family that's in need. You've blessed me. You've taken care of my needs. But I want to give above and beyond my comfort zone to where it's uncomfortable. It was a heart of faith that motivated her to give all that she had. And it was also a heart of love. It was an expression of her love for God. Now, again, this wasn't money that was required for her to give. This was an offering. This was above and beyond what was required. She chose to give all that she had. She chose to give the only hope of food that she had. She chose to give because she loved God and wanted to see His work done, wanted to contribute to the ministry of the Word, to the ministry of the temple, to the furthering of the kingdom. She gave out of heart of love, and she gave in faith. See, I want you to understand, God's not knocking rich folks, okay? God's not knocking the fact that some people can give a lot of money and it not hurt at all. They've got plenty. But if it's not sacrifice, if it's not a statement of faith, then God's not impressed. The other thing I want you to see is that God notices and not giving is not an option. See, we want to think, well, you know, God doesn't want me to give and not be able to buy groceries. God doesn't want me to give and not have my cup of coffee because, man, if I ain't got coffee in the morning on the way to work, those folks can't deal with me. Surely God wants me to be sociable. Got to have my coffee. No. God says not giving is not an option. Jesus didn't run up to this lady. He said, no, don't give that. That's all you've got. Don't give it. It's not what he did. He commended her on her faith. He commended her on the love that she demonstrated that motivated her. He commended her on her heart of cheerfulness as she gave all that she had to live on. Now, why would he commend her for that when it seems so illogical? Because she trusted the promises of God. God said, walk by faith and not by sight. God says, give all that you have and trust me to provide what you need. She lived as if the promises of God were true. She lived as if God were faithful. She lived as if God was all she needed. And she trusted Him to take care of her. That's what Jesus was commending. And see, as I read this and as I begin to think about what God was commending, what Jesus was saying about this lady, then I have to do a little heart inspection. Do I give sacrificially? It's got nothing to do with amount, okay? Do I give sacrificially? Does it cost me anything other than the transfer of funds from my hand to the ministry? Does it cost me anything? Am I going to lose a meal? Am I going to give up anything in order to give this? Am I going to have to sacrifice in order to give this? Now, again, she's not giving it so God will bless her. It's not a seed planted so God will give her $1,000 back. It's giving because she loves God. Giving because she trusts God. It's giving because she wants the ministry that she's giving to be carried out and more people be introduced to God. The worship of God to be fulfilled, the temple to be prepared and ready. Whatever, I don't know which trumpet she gave in. She just gave above and beyond what was required and gave all that she had from a heart full of love, a heart full of faith, knowing that God was the one who provided even those two coins, and He'll provide whatever else she needs. See, that's That's what Paul says when he says, God loves a cheerful giver. And the only way we can give cheerfully is to really believe that God's going to do what he says he'll do. And to give sacrificially. Now, again, I don't want you to think that I don't think our church is generous. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I have boasted on you guys. I have bragged on you guys. Man, when we were doing the backpacks, I said, man, I just hope we get $1,000. You guys blew me away. It was $2,000. Doubled what I even thought. I thought I was stretching it, man. Let's do $1,000. When we give to help people or to help families, man, you guys are generous, and y'all give way more than I ever thought, or maybe I just don't think big enough. You are generous. But are we giving sacrificially? Or are we just giving out of our excess? Does it cost us anything? We say that whatever it costs, it's worth it if one person gets saved. Till we start writing a check. I just want to see us express our love and our devotion to be wildly generous to the kingdom of God. And let God look at us and say, wow, they give. They demonstrate their faith. They demonstrate their love. Because when we give that way, God will always show up and keep his promise. He will keep his promise. He cannot be unfaithful to himself. So we just got to trust him. And I want to challenge you, just like God is challenging me, to be generous. Give more than you think you can. Because the kingdom of God is worth it. All right? Let's stand.